all that I can be. And maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly?
Aloha, coming live to each and every one of you tonight from Laughlin, Nevada. I am your host, May Leilani, and this is the Universal Spiritual Connection. Mahalo to all the listeners of Pal Talk and BBSRadio.com. Now, each and every one of you are definitely going to want to write down these phone numbers tonight because we have a really terrific surprise for one of you lucky callers tonight. Our call-in numbers are USA 888-228-4494. Canada is 877-489-6350. And our direct line, same area code, 530-776-5154 or 776-5185 and 876-9916. Hello to each and every one of you. It has just been an exciting time for me. I am actually broadcasting live from Laughlin, and I am right on the Colorado River, and it's just absolutely magnificent to see all the city lights reflecting off of the Colorado River. But I have a very, very special guest this evening. She's not only a guest, but she is my spiritual sister and a comrade as well. And it's always an honor for me to, and delightful for me to have her on our show once again. We definitely welcome Washali back to the show this evening, and she's got a great surprise for each and every one of you. But before we bring her onto the show, please allow me to share you a little bit more about this beautiful young lady. She's not only a stand-up comic, but a part, as she says, spiritual teacher and a full-time soul stripper. We'll definitely have to get her to explain to us, all of us, what she means by that. And she is really wonderful. I've had the opportunity to experience the work that she gives so effortlessly and from her heart. She has attended San Francisco State University, where she received a degree with religion. She's also not only one radio show, but this young lady has two. And also, you can see her on TV. So without further delay, let's give her a warm welcome to our show. Welcome!
Well, thank you for such a gloriously generous and loving introduction, my beloved Leilani. Thank you.
I just wanted to get you onto the show, and I just love being around your energy. And you definitely have this incredible, powerful energy that speaks real love, real unconditional love.
Well, that's kind of the only kind of love we want to have, isn't it? And that's really what it's all about. I mean, if we're going to come to the planet Earth, and we're going to take a body, and we're going to have to pay taxes, and we're going to get cellulite, and we're going to have to sit in traffic, we might as well go ahead and make it about aligning ourselves with the most unconditional love that we can.
Absolutely. I'd like to share with all our listeners this evening is that Washali is also an author. The title of her book is You Are What You Love. And I just really have enjoyed reading this book, and she speaks with such incredible wisdom and so deeply in tuned with what unconditional love is really all about. And as we all know, that love really truly is the key to the gates of heaven. And it's about time, don't you think, Washali?
You know, my story is that that's why the earth was created, was so that we could get to this point of realizing that there's nothing in it for us to not give our attention and our loyalty to unconditional love.
Well, share with our listeners, if you will, tonight, a little bit more about yourself, because I'm just amazed. It's amazing to watch you in action, because you've got this incredible energy. You'll have to tell me your secret.
It's all the purple I wear.
Yeah, which happens to be one of my favorite colors, too.
I'm not surprised, girlfriend.
Well, share a little bit more about yourself, because I know that you have your hand in many, many different avenues, and I also know that you have a publishing company as well. Talk to us a little bit about your publishing company and some of the other ventures that you're involved with.
Well, Leilani, you know, my partner and I started Purple Haze Press originally to publish my book, You Are What You Love, and there's a companion playbook. You know, it's very she these days when you write a book to have a companion workbook. But to tell you the truth, I think we all work way too much. And I didn't want to inflict a workbook on people, but I could bless them with a playbook. So we've got the You Are What You Love text, and then the playbook is how to take those ideas in the book and incorporate them in your life so that it becomes more playful and fun. And then there's the book on CD, and we really wanted to write this book from our own voice. And we didn't want it to be compromised by how a publisher wanted that voice to sound. And we felt that the only way to really keep our voice and integrity and get it out there with every last comma and period that we had written in the text, that I had written in the text, because I wrote the book, was for us to publish it ourselves. So we started Purple Haze Press, and the idea was eventually to start taking on other authors, was to give other people out there a voice where their craftsmanship as an author is respected, because that is such a rare beast in the publishing world. In the publishing world, the traditional paradigm is this. You go in with a text. The publisher either picks it up or they don't. If they don't, obviously we have end of story. But if they pick it up, then the publisher decides what the cover is going to look like, what the back cover is going to look like, what kind of paper it's going to get printed on, what size the font is. They're going to decide everything about it. And they're going to take dollars, and you're going to take pennies on the dollar. And we just didn't think that was fair, that
yes.
Because being a writer, I know what you pour into a book. I mean, it's your child. It is your creative brainchild, and you pour your entire life blood into it. So we thought that what we really wanted to do was create a publishing company where when people come to us and it resonates with us as being a member of our Purple Haze Press family, we make sure that the author has the final say in everything. They have the final say on what the cover looks like, on what the paper looks like, on what the advertising looks like. They have the final say on everything that we do because they're the people that have channeled this information. They know what the entire personality of the communication should look like. And that is just absolutely unheard of. And we also are extremely generous with our authors. And when we get to the point where we get paid back for what we plowed into this project, when that becomes even, then we split the profits 50-50 for the life of the book. And the author decides if the book gets reprinted again, not us. Not
well,
the publishing house.
Let's take a moment at the opportunity at this time. If you would share with our listeners your website and any other contact information that you would like to share with them. And before we do this, I'd like to invite all my listeners onto my show, but on my personal radio show page, I have a wealth of information and also the website and contact information there. And for those listeners in Pal Talk, hey, everybody, miss you guys. I'll tell you all about my great trip here. But I also want to give you guys the link directly to the show page, and that is www.bbsradio.com. You definitely want to go and check this wonderful book out. But if you would, Washali, would you go ahead and share that information?
I would adore the opportunity, Leilani. Thank you, my darling. My website is purple because, as you've already noticed, I have a thing for that color. I wear the color purple every day. And so my website is purple V like vivacious. And I know Washali sounds like it's spelled with a W, but it's a Sanskrit name. And in Sanskrit, it's spelled with a V, but according to English rules, you pronounce it like a W. So my website is purplev.com. And you can click on books, and when you bring up books, you can see my book, the playbook, the book on CD, and you can see our first other non-Washali Purple Haze Press author, a gentleman by the name of Stephen Maines, and his book Longinus, about Gaius Cassius Longinus, the Roman centurion who pierced the side of Christ. And we just finished today not only recording his book on CD, but we're going to make an exciting YouTube trailer for that will just be top shelf quality, really exciting to look forward to. And we're on the verge of signing two more Purple Haze Press authors for 2008, which we are wildly excited about.
Nice. Well, when you get that trailer ready, let me know, and I can put it up on my show page as well.
But, Blessings to you.
You have written a wonderful book titled You Are What You Love. Share with us a little bit about this book and what was the main inspiration that brought you to sit down and really put this book in words.
You know, it's interesting. I did an interview recently, and the interviewer had never read the book, wasn't familiar with it, anything. Oftentimes, you know, they're just flying by the seat of their pants, and the interviewer said, you are what you love. Okay, does that make me peanut butter? And I said, no, dude, you're confusing that with you are what you eat. This is a completely different thing. You are what you love was actually coined by my favorite 18th century Swedish mystic, Emanuel Swedenborg. And he lived from 1688 to 1772. And he's the one that first coined this phrase, you are what you love, and you love whatever you give your attention to, over 200 years ago. And he wrote, Leilani, he wrote over 3.5 million words. He wrote over 35 volumes on the spiritual world and how it works. And why that's particularly significant is because of his viewpoint. And he started out as a scientist. He studied with Sir Isaac Newton. He studied with Sir Edmund Halley, of the astronomer that Halley's Comet is named after. He was a member of Sweden's parliament. He was a metallurgist. He's the one that came up with the first actual working hanging glider that hangs in the Smithsonian. He came up with the first blueprint for a submarine. He wrote over 150 scientific works. He ground his own glass and made his own telescope, ground his own glass and made his own microscope. I mean, he wrote four volumes on the human brain, figured out what the cerebellum is for, the pituitary gland, the endocrine system. He mastered every known science in his life. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records, for one of the largest IQs. And Stanford University, a few years ago, wanted to come up with a list of the top 10 most brilliant people who ever lived, who ever drew breath on the planet. And Emanuel Swedenborg, I like to call him my boyfriend, Emanuel Swedenborg and two other people tied for first place. So there's no argument that he was clearly an incredibly, astonishingly brilliant man. And he started out as a scientist. And when I first heard about him, Leilani, that the fact that he was really smart and he was a scientist, that didn't really significantly impress me.
Okay.
What impressed me is why he was using science as a venue. And he was exploring science because at that time science was very much at its infancy. It wasn't, you know, science today now means I'm the scientist, I know it all, you're stupid, get out of my way. And it didn't mean that then. Then there was great hope that whatever questions about the nature of the soul and spirit that religion had failed to give us emotional and psychiatrically satisfying answers to, that science would somehow be able to bring illumination and clarity to things that were still mystified by organized religion. So Swedenborg was really using science because he was hoping that this would help him discover where the soul resided in the human experience. That's what he was really after, is knowing where the soul resided in the human experience. Isn't that beautiful?
It is. It absolutely is. Before we get any further, hold your thought. And I'd like to make a special announcement to all the listeners this evening, is that on the third caller of tonight's show, Shelley is actually going to gift the third caller a signed book. Isn't that right?
I'm happy to give the first three callers a signed copy of the book. The first three callers, sure.
Oh,
you are what you
cool.
love, and you love whatever you give your attention to. And if people are calling and asking questions, they're looking for this information, and I'd love to make it easy for them to have.
Oh, bless your heart. Well, you guys heard it. Actually, the first three callers on tonight's show will actually get an actual signed book right from Shelley. And I have to tell you, I actually have the book. I own it. It is a one of those books that you keep in your personal library, in your special meditation area, or, well, mine is in my bedroom with me. So it's one of those books that you will always go back and refer to. And so let me give you guys those call-in numbers once again. And for the USA, it is 888-228-4494. Canada is 877-489-6350. Direct lines are area code 530-776-5154, 776-5185, and 876-9916. And the title of this book is called You Are What You Love. And I'd like to share this thought, if I may, with the listeners this evening. I just love the way you express your thoughts on paper. And you explain here, one of the things that I've always felt needed is upgrading more than our technology toys is our concept of spirituality. It seems mainstream awareness is so out of date, uptight, and out of touch with reality as the prudents who first put their hands in stirring up the what is acceptable spiritual pot. What a profound statement.
Thank you, sweetheart. I think it's one that most people really resonate to. You know that we've got blackberries, we've got different toys for different things, but when it comes to our relationship with spirituality, and since we all come here to accept ourselves, unconditional love and acceptance are inseparable. They're mutually inclusive. And it seems that we become more and more divisive and more separate in what we consider acceptable or politically correct or what we value in this life giving our attention to.
Yes, and just in your quote here is, Oh, thank you. Thank you, Seth. Let's welcome our first caller to the show. Please give us your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, yes. My name is Marilyn. I'm from Illinois.
Hi, Marilyn. Welcome to the Universal Spiritual Connection. Did you have questions that you... Oh, and by the way, congratulations. You just got yourself a book, young lady.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Marilyn,
well, how do I go about doing that?
Marilyn, if you want to email me, V at purple V, again, that's V like vivacious, V like very, V like Wishali, V at purplev.com. Say hi. Yo, this is Marilyn from Illinois. This is my snail mail address. This is the address I would like the book sent to. And you will get your own signed copy of You Are What You Love. And Marilyn, you will not be surprised when you get it and you find that it's purple and it's printed in purple ink.
Cool. All right. Well,
congratulations. You're going to love the book, by the way. I'm excited for you.
Well, yeah, I am too. Well, thank you. I don't have a specific question right off the top of my head, but I wanted to go with something general like in this world, there's a lot of polarity and how to deal with that. And in other words, I'm at a stage where, you know, I'm trying not to be judgmental, you know, but then again, you try not to be something and it's kind of difficult. But how do you deal with you know, accepting things that just seem out of order?
Okay, really good question. Really, really, really good question.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people who are listening are putting down their fork or their knife and turning up the volume, because this is a question that is universal. So thank you for calling
very
so much, Marilyn,
question.
And asking this question.
Yeah.
One of the things that I love about my favorite mystic, Emanuel Swedenborg, is that he has a profound way of saying really eternal, infinite truths very succinctly and clearly. And what I was leading up to, and I'll go ahead and kind of lay some of this Emanuel Swedenborg backstory, so when I tell you what his wisdom is, it'll have more weight to it, more gravity to it, Marilyn. When Swedenborg was alive, he had been able to control his breathing and enter into a trance-like state of absolute supreme concentrated focus, controlling his breath. He'd been able to do this since he was a small child, which is how we figure he accomplished all of his scientific works. But when he was 56 years old, and he was doing this meditative, controlled breathing, concentrated focus, he said he had a revelation. He broke through the spiritual realm. He was given permission to break into the spiritual realm. And the veil between the physical and spiritual worlds dissolved. And he said for the remaining 28 years of his life, he talked to the angels. He talked to higher order beings, lower order beings, that it was given permission for him to travel into various different spiritual arenas. Because his job was to map out the spiritual world, to do a GPS of the spiritual world, if you will. His job was to explain to us in the physical world how the spiritual world operates and how what we give our attention to in the physical world affects where we live spiritually.
Yes.
And this is some of the primary core fundamental truths that he has come to share with us about how the spiritual world works. And here's the primary one, Marilyn. Your awareness, your attention, is inseparable from love. And what that means is this. You don't have love, Marilyn. Love is not a possession. I can't come up to you with a gun, Marilyn, and put it to your head and say, okay, put all your love in this bag, and then run away and say, I have twice as much love as anyone else on the planet. But we act like it, right? You go through divorce court, you get up, you get a bad date, you put on a dress that makes your butt look big, and your relationship with being divine love goes right out the window. So knowing that we don't have love, we are love, is absolutely critical. Because Swedenborg says that when you know who and what you are, that you don't have love, you are love, then a myriad of fears, insecurities, psychosis, neurosis, judgments, criticism, they go out the window because they cannot coexist in a mind that knows what its true nature is. So I want you to keep following with me with this, Marilyn. You don't have love, you are love. He says that means that you don't have divine consciousness, you are it. Because when was love ever separate from divine consciousness? Keep following this with me, girlfriend. I'm laying down a trail of breadcrumbs. Keep coming with me, girlfriend. You don't have God consciousness. You are it. And he says, what that means is this. You do not have the power to create a learning experience you did not need. Let me say that again. You do not have the power to create a learning experience you did not need. When was love and God consciousness ever capable of creating something it didn't need? Now, there's a lot of things that love can do and God consciousness can do, but create a learning experience of itself it didn't need isn't one of them. And he says, now you put that side by side with this other truth, and here's the other truth. Only what you need, when you need it, is ever allowed by divine love and wisdom to touch your life. You ever know a family where cancer runs in the family and some people get cancer in the family and other people don't? What's that about? Only what you need, when you need it, in order to grow, is ever allowed to touch your life. So put these two together, girlfriend. Make this ultimate gestalt with me. You can't create a learning experience you don't need. Only what you need, when you need it, to reach enlightenment is ever allowed to show up on the radar of your life. What is not to accept? When you don't know that you don't have love, you are love. And when you're under the misguided impression that you could create a learning experience that you don't need, you're going to have a very difficult time with accepting the evolution of your soul. But when you know that everything is sent to you by divine love, because divine love is saying, will you be love in the presence of this now? Will you be love in the presence of this now? Or is your being love conditional? Because when you come to the planet Earth and you deal with having bad hair days, you deal with a body with cellulite, you deal with losing in court, you deal with getting more car insurance, when you deal with all that and you show up and you say to the world, go ahead and throw your best at me, you will not change the reality that I don't have love, I am love in this moment, and no one and no thing on this planet has the power to change that. And when you hold alignment to that truth, voila, you are love unconditionally. And that's the gift that it brings you. In other words, everything on the planet is designed for one reason, Marilyn. And that's for your enlightenment. It is here to serve you. And if it doesn't ultimately serve that purpose, God will not let it touch your life. You can go ahead and accept it, girlfriend. It's good food from heaven.
Ooh, profound, profound statements that you have shared with all the listeners tonight. Marilyn, what do you think, young lady? Oh, we must have lost her.
I was going to say we blew her out of the water.
Well, real quick, I want to remind our listeners tonight, let me give the website and the email address again. And Washali's website is purplevictory.com. The email address is purplevictory@victory.com. Wow, young lady, I was sitting on my end going, yes, 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 yes. And that's what's so profound about this wonderful book titled You Are What You Love, because you're giving very practical tools, but yet they work. They're easy to apply in our busy lives. They remind us to keep, you know, the information that you share within the book reminds us how to keep our lives in balance and that we are all these great things, no matter what happens around us.
Absolutely. Thank you, sweetheart. I oftentimes refer to myself as the practical wisdom slut. In other words, whenever there's practical spiritual wisdom, I'm easy to be found there, because the wisdom that you have should be pulling your butt out of the fire when life, you know, turns up the heat. And if the wisdom that you have is not pulling your derriere out of the fire, then it's meaningless. So it's got to be practical. It's got to be something that helps you in your everyday life.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I want to get back to, I'm going to have you share real quick with us, because you say you're a part spiritual teacher and a full-time soul stripper. What do you mean when you refer to that? I already know what this means, but I'd like for you to share that with our listeners, if you would.
Sure. We have a tendency to identify with a lot of things that are not our true nature. We identify with ourselves as being the person that doesn't ever get the raise at work. We identify with ourselves as a person that always gets in the slowest lane on the freeway, or the slowest lane at the grocery store, or the person that is going to get dumped on the first date, or the person that's going to get a big zit on their wedding day. I mean, we associate a lot of negative baggage with who we are. And the truth of the matter is that we came to the earth to identify with being divine love and wisdom and absolutely nothing else. So when I call myself I'm a soul stripper, what I mean by that is I'm here to strip all the illusion off of my soul, to strip all that baggage off, and to just stand in the naked truth of I don't have love, I am love.
Wow. Let's invite our next caller to the show. Please give us your name and where you're calling from. Hello?
Hi.
What's your name?
Hello. Hi, Jasmine. How are you? This is Gracie.
And where
how
are you
calling
from,
listen,
Gracie?
I have a question I would like to know. Is basically the foundation of the book, basically, what's the focus on the book?
The book is basically understanding. It's, you could look at it two ways, Gracie. And by the way, I have a cat named after you. I've got a cat named Grace and one named Bliss. But what would you expect a spiritual teacher to name her cats? At any rate, they're both in the room staring at me right now, so I had to give them deference. You know how they are. I try and examine consciousness itself. I take a look, I break down what is consciousness, and do we have more than one form of consciousness? And if we do, what form of consciousness is for solving what type of problem in your life? So I do like a forensic breakdown on the anatomy of consciousness itself. I use consciousness to examine consciousness. And the other is to explore and to answer this question, Gracie. If you're really spirit, if that's really, really, really what you are, if you're really ethereal spirit, why do you need to find yourself in a body? Why do you need to find your spirit in a bag of protoplasm that's glued to a rock that's spinning and hurtling itself through space? What could possibly be the divine design in that? If you're really spirit, what's in it for you to have a human experience? Why would divine love and wisdom orchestrate that reality for our experience? What's the purpose in it? And you can't answer that without pairing it with understanding what is consciousness, what is the nature of consciousness, and how are the different forms that consciousness manifests itself in a human experience. I hope that made some sense. In other words,
yes,
this is the bottom line.
The thing that I'm getting a little confused is that we are in the physical spirit of the physical, and outside the physical is the realm of spirit energy. Am I correct so far?
Well, the spirit energy is in the physical as well. But yes, I understand what you're saying.
Right, but where's the consciousness of the borderline between both indifferences?
We're God consciousness having a human experience.
Okay. Thank you.
Are we saying the same thing, darling?
I think so. Yeah, it, I was just a little confused on listening, you know, to where, you know, to get the full benefit of the book. That's
here's
where
the,
my question was.
Here's the full benefit of the book in a soundbite. Your awareness is your divinity. Your consciousness and your awareness is love, and it is your divinity. And when you give your awareness to something, you're giving it your divinity. So here's the bottom line for you, my darling Gracie. There's nothing in it for you to ever give your attention to anything limiting unless you want to spiritually live in a limiting place. Because whatever you give your attention to is going to correlate with where you live spiritually. So when you give your attention to, I can't do this right, I'm not good enough, the reason that that feels so hellish is because when you give your attention to something limited, you spiritually move yourself to a limited, hellish place. So we have a body and we have a nervous system because it's the fastest way to learn that there's nothing in it for you to give your attention to something limited. Because when you do that here, you have to feel the consequences of it. That's why it accelerates that learning. So when you come here, at the end of your life, you can say, you know what? I'm not giving my attention to anything limited anymore because I've learned everything I need to from unhappiness and a hellish existence. I'm only giving my attention to what's unlimited because that's what I choose to love.
Now, before we let Gracie go, let's make sure, Gracie, do you have the email address so you're able to receive your book?
No, not at the moment, but I'm sure I'll get it.
It's V like vivacious, V like victory, V at purplev.com.
Okay,
can you remember
okay.
that, Gracie, darling?
All right, hon, thank you.
V at purplev.com. Thank you, Gracie.
Bless you,
okay,
and thank
you
for calling into the show.
I appreciate you helping me, and so the whole thing is to arise over your limitations. Am I correct?
Right, it's to choose to retrieve your attention back to when it goes to a limited place.
Okay.
That's it, girlfriend.
I appreciate it, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Gracie.
Thank you, and bless you. And let me share this with the listeners as well tonight. The title of the book that we are speaking about is You Are What You Love, was written to provide a tool by which you may improve the quality of your life, make the mind your friend, and to get a leg up on ending suffering as we know it. And there was some other information. Friends don't let friends go into the light without a spiritual roadmap to enlightenment. You Are What You Love is the divine 21st century guide for spiritual seekers of timeless wisdom who are searching for the answers to the big questions in life, such as, who am I? Where am I? Why am I here? What is the purpose and meaning of my life? What is the value, power, and worth, and the title once again is You Are What You Love. Website is purple, V as in victory, .com. Email address is V at purplev.com. And for our callers, Marilyn and Gracie, please remember to send an email directly to V at purplev.com. And congratulations to both of you. Wow, this is good stuff, why, Shelley? But, you know, that's why I enjoy having you come on the show, because, you know, profound, very profound. You know, I'd like to go back real quick to the statement that you made. Here is what I was sharing earlier, is that the mainstream awareness is out of date, uptight and out of touch with reality as the prudents who first put their hands into stirring up what is acceptable spiritual pot. Spirituality is about love, first, last, and foremost. Unfortunately, real love seems to have taken the biggest hit in our modern handling of spirituality. Would you like to share your thoughts on that statement with us?
When we stand back and we look at this bigger picture that Emanuel Swedenborg invites us to embrace, that we don't have love, we are love, and that we cannot create a learning experience we don't need, that means that we are reaching enlightenment the fastest, most efficient way we can, because we simply do not have the power as divine love to do anything else. That means that when we're looking at our neighbor, when we're looking at our children, when we're looking at political people, they're reaching enlightenment the fastest, most efficient way they can as well, because they don't have the power to do anything else, because we're all equally God. Nobody here on the planet is more God than somebody else. We're all equally love. We're all equally God. And the bottom line is this: what you would want for your neighbor, what you would want for your children, what you would want for your political leaders, is you'd want them to reach enlightenment. Well, they're doing that the fastest, most efficient way they can. It's not useful for us to judge them, to criticize them, or judge and criticize ourselves, because we're reaching enlightenment the fastest, most efficient way we can. That when you align yourself with the truth that we don't have love, we are it. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to wait till my community or my family says, look, here are a few love crumbs. They're small. Take two. They're small. I don't have to wait for somebody to tell me I'm deserving and worthy. I don't have love. I am love. Deserving and worthy isn't even an issue. I am it. And when we align ourselves with that truth, then we can start taking our energy back, and we can stop giving our power away, and we can start showing up with a great deal of really authentic, sincere, heartfelt, unconditional love and acceptance for our neighbors and our children and our political leaders, because we want them to reach enlightenment the fastest, most efficient way, and we trust that they're doing that. And when you understand that bigger picture, acceptance is just a natural byproduct of being in the present moment and recognizing them for the force of divine love that they are. But when you don't understand that, then acceptance falls into a limited criteria. You have to dress a certain way. You have to talk a certain way. You're not supposed to use certain language. You're not supposed to use certain words. You're not supposed to go out and get drunk on a Saturday night and vomit on your front lawn or whatever it is. When you take the equation of us being God and being love out of it, then you set up this parameter of limited conditions in which somebody can operate. And if they fall outside of those limited conditions, then our non-acceptance radar comes up. And this creates so much suffering in our life, because the truth of the matter is, as my favorite mystic Emanuel Swedenborg says it, when we are on the planet Earth, we're here to practice giving our attention to what is unlimited. That when we cross over, when our human experience is over, there is no judgment day in the way that we think of it. That God doesn't sit in judgment of you, Swedenborg says, because God is pure love and God is incapable of judging you or being angry or even frowning at you. That when we cross over, we all go to the absolute highest level of heaven immediately, regardless of how we've lived our life. But if you've practiced giving your attention to something limiting, you've practiced being judgmental, you've practiced being a worrywart, you've practiced being unhappy, you've practiced seeing the worst side in everybody, you've practiced waiting for the other shoe to fall, you've practiced looking out for number one, because if you don't get them, they're going to get you. When you get to the highest level of heaven, you will not be comfortable there, and you will move yourself out, because you are what you love, and you love whatever you give your attention to. So the earth is a place where we practice giving our attention to what is unlimited, because that's what we love, and for no other reason. So when you go to the other realm and you cross over and you get to the highest level of heaven, you don't leave, because you don't need to give your attention to something limited, because that's what you're loyal to, because that's what you've practiced. Is this making any sense, Leilani?
Yes, because, oh gosh, because I see it all the time, constantly.
Yes.
You know, and you know, I was thinking back on just a short phrase that you had made is, given away our power.
Yeah.
The word judgment, I see that all the time. And, you know, I had a dear friend that said to me one time, he says, you know, us human beings get up every morning looking for the different ways of what we feel are being insulting to us.
Yeah.
Instead of allowing ourselves to get up in the morning with a smile on our faces and just greet our day, greet our moments, of every moment that unfolds, and look through the eyes of and the heart of full of love and explosion and looking through the eyes of joy. Even through the times of what we feel is adversity. But you know what I'd like for you to share with our listeners tonight is the different signs of how we give away our power to others, to circumstances, situations. You're starting to get me all excited. I was ready to just go on, and you are my guest, and I want to make sure that the listeners hear you because you have a lot to share with this world.
Oh, sweetheart, I so adore, you know, all of your insights and the way that you bring such depth to whatever it is that your guest has to share.
I appreciate
that.
We have another caller.
Oh, do we?
Yes, we do, and I'd like to invite our caller to the show, and please give us your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, my name is Sharon. I'm from New York. Hi, Vishali.
Hi, Sharon in New York.
How you doing?
Good, Angel. How are you?
Pretty good. I listen to you a lot, and I really love you, and it's a great opportunity for me to be able to speak with you. Thank you.
Thank you, honey.
I was
so thrilled. And let me ask you something. Let me ask you something real quick, Sharon. Have you seen The Color Purple yet? Since you live in New York?
Yeah.
Okay.
I love The Color Purple.
A good girl.
That makes three of us.
It was just my love affair with Eternal Purple that had me distract you and ask you that. I'm sorry, but how can I be of service to you this evening, my love?
I was wondering if you would speak on karma, just a few moments on karma, because I have your book, by the way, but I don't have a signed copy.
You know, I'll be happy to send you a signed copy, Sharon, and you know my email is v@purplev.com.
I know everything about you.
So.
I know your website. I know everything. I love you.
You got my number, don't you, Angel?
Yes, I do.
So, Sharon, you know how I feel about her myself. I mean, the moment I connected with Vishali, I just said, oh, my gosh, I got to have this woman in my life. I mean, she's just one of those. Yes, she is.
She really is.
You ought to really get it on a personal side. Oh, my goodness, she's wonderful.
We had a love festival from the very first syllable. I'm glad you brought that up, sweetheart. Karma is an Eastern word, and it gets a lot of interpretations around it. And karma, I talk about it in my book, and some people talk about karma as a debt that you incur, and I'm going to put that aside because I don't feel that that's a real useful way to relate to this cause and effect of karma. And karma has to do with action. And this is the way that I describe it in my book, that we're here to realize our divinity. And we're here to realize that we don't have love, we are love. And when we allow the experiences and the movement of life to invoke and facilitate and support and embrace and enlighten that remembrance that I do not have love, I am love, that is a complete action. And karma is when you relate to things and you don't connect the dots to your divinity. And when something happens and you don't connect, I don't have love, I am love, this situation has come to serve me. I am divine love and wisdom, and I am senior to this experience. I'm senior to whatever happens on the earth plane because I am eternal love. When you respond to the movement of life with a recognition of your divinity, that is a complete action, and that is beyond karma. So everything that comes to us that is not We have not connected. We have not made that bridge. We have not embraced that this is about a remembrance to our divinity. It is an incomplete action, and we are destined to repeat it until we embrace our divinity and realize the ultimate goal for which the earth was created, which is to align ourselves with divine love and wisdom and absolutely nothing else. Does that make any sense, darling?
Yes, it does. Perfect sense.
Well,
thank you.
I want to thank you, Sharon, for calling into the show. Many blessings to you. And we'll just take the next caller.
Bye-bye.
So we want to thank you.
Bye, Sharon. I love you.
Isn't that great? You know what I'd like to do, Washali?
What, darling?
Please share with all the listeners. And by the way, I want to let all my listeners know that I'm actually going to be on the show with Washali on Contact Radio May the 30th, and that's on a Friday. But please share a little bit about both of your radio broadcasts as well with my listeners.
You are so gracious, my darling. When you go to my website, Purple V, V as in vivacious, purplev.com, you can click on the calendar, and we've just updated the website. So even if you've been to my website before, Purple V, if you haven't been there since January 1st, please go. It's brand new. We got a new look, a new homepage, got a multimedia room where you can see some interviews and talks and live talks and television interviews. But we've updated the calendar, so it's very easy to get the entire month at a glance. And you can see personal appearances, book signings, and I have two different radio shows. And if you go to the calendar, you can see every Friday on Contact Talk Radio, and there's a link there. So if you go to the calendar, you click right on the link, it takes you right there. It's a real no-brainer. Every Friday from 1 to 2 Pacific Standard Time, 3 to 4 Eastern Standard Time, I do 1 hour of commercial-free, like my beloved Leilani sister, on Contact Talk Radio. And then on Saturdays on World Talk Radio, and again, that's on the calendar, from 12 to 1 Pacific Standard Time, 3 to 4 Eastern Standard Time. And both shows are called You Are What You Love.
Thank you for sharing that with the listeners. Let me invite our next caller to the show. Please give us your name and where you're calling from. We have about a minute that we can take this call, so let me have them come right on. Welcome to the show. Are you with us? Ah, okay. Well, let me give. I'm so thrilled. What a great show. You're just terrific. I could go on and on about you. Let me give my listeners the website again, and that is purplev.com. The email address is v@purplev.com. And the title of the book that we have been sharing with all of you is called You Are What You Love. You did it, young lady. Is it amazing how I have to say goodbye already?
Darling, it's always an honor to share the airwaves with you. You rock, girlfriend.
Well, you do too, big time. And I want to personally thank you for being here with all of us. And thank you for blessing my listeners, not only with your presence, but with your wisdom, your love, and for giving to them a book to each of the callers tonight. On that note, I want to send you with a lot of love, warm hugs, and many blessings to you. I'd like to say to each of my listeners this evening, remember how grand you are. Remember, you are indeed the power and the authority of you, your worlds, and activities. Love yourselves. And most of all, remember to always have a life filled with family and love. Good night to each of you, and be blessed.
want is all that I can be. And maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie, but that's not true because I see a man but feel a child. There are some of us who can hear a voice inside, a truthful voice that says, yes, you were born to fly, you were born to fly. We were born to fly high. We were born to fly, and so was I. I ask myself, what will I come to be? I have a choice now, so I guess it's up to me. Maybe I will make a difference in this world. Maybe I will teach another boy or another girl how to fly. Teach them all that they were born to fly. And we were born to fly, so was I. But when you live in a world that tells you that you can't, and when you live in a world that says you must be something other than what you are,